Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, given only a destination and a contact, the crew of the Sky on Fire jumped into the hyperspace lanes. With 10 days to recuperate, each spent their time as best they could. Barrowin spoke with her team in term, while Vestrano got Cav onto a health plan. Billy got herself a promotion and an upgrade. Cav combined their crafting skills with lessons learned, hoping that the crew would have the extra edge needed to find the real Pirate Queen. Would any of it prepare them for the dangers awaiting them amongst the scrap heaps and high society of Ord Mantell? Find out on this week's episode, Swimming with Sharks.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mesk of the Pirate Queen, and this is Act 2, Episode 1. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna...
Hello. You have reached the PacoCom that is not the PacoCom of Vorin Afa, soon to be fabulously famous finder of fantastic... treasures. I'm not available to speak right now, so please, leave me a message and I will get back to you the next time Lorenzo gets annoyed with the number of notifications on my device and makes me check this. Good luck!
Yes, House Warren, I thought it would be nice if I could update you on current events. This is Billy. I was your friend and enforcer, and I believe I've taken to the gambling life as well, given recent events. But I wanted to let you know that Barrowin has made me second in command aboard the Sky on Fire. I'm not sure what to do with this, and I would appreciate your assistance. But don't tell Barrowin I called.
Oh, I'm not sure why Varun would want to hit. He barely knew me. All right. Hello, Mr. Varun. I don't know if you remember me. I am the ship's doctor, Vestrano, aboard the Sky on Fire. Unceremoniously handed me this device of which to leave you a missive, and I'm not quite sure what to say. Everyone on board is of decent health, for the most part. Thought you'd like to know.
Hi, Varun. It's Barrowin. Everything's going great here. Definitely no near-death situations, or double crosses, or anything like that. So, so sad you're not here. Let me know you're okay. Bye.
Hello, Varun! This is Illyn. The scan means Cav. No, Illyn. Varun, Cav has acquired a first name which this Twi'lek might have gathered is Illyn. Also, Illyn almost died, like, a lot. And Cav and the crew messed up a bounty and killed a lot of people. How are you?
You have 4 unheard messages.
To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today, we'll get Billy to ask.
Captain, given the advanced nature of our relationship in this particular circumstance, one leader to another, might I inquire as to why you were dismissive of droids before our time together?
Yeah, really gotta put me on the spot here, huh, Billy?
I've been told that it is a gift. They're sarcastic, I believe.
I mean, to be honest, most droids that I've known have been... they haven't really had much personality, or any, that I noticed. Which I guess might have been because I wasn't paying much attention to them. We don't have a lot of droids on Solonia, for one thing, so I haven't been around a ton of them relative to a lot of people. And then most of them have been, like, Cavs droids who might have Cavs thinks they have personalities. But they only beep, so I can't tell.
I see.
I guess my point is that you're the first one that felt like a person.
Billy straightens up because she was just referred to as a person.
I'm glad that I could fulfill this role in your life and that we are able to exchange communications with one another clearly, person to person.
Yep, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good part about our relationship. I concur.
Should I leave before this becomes too awkward?
It was like 3 minutes ago.
Okay. Bring us in, Ben.
Well, first, could I get someone to reiterate what our destiny pool is for the moment?
That's normally my job. Let me...
That would be 3 light side and 2 dark.
And now Leslie has stolen my job. And just like she stole my first mateness,
the sky on fire,
and my place, my first order in the introductions. I see. I'm just done here, Leslie. I will pass you the editor's hat and customary toolkit. It's a computer, and have at it.
Why is it on fire? Why is the hat on fire too? I'm terrified, Christine. Don't give me this. I can't handle this responsibility.
Many, many tests of the crate's breath had to be performed.
So, 3 light, 2 dark. Christine hates me. We're good.
So the two of you will be the pair that has the dramatic final battle at the climax of the campaign to see which one gets to be...
Well, spoilers, if we're within melee range, Billy will win. If we're not, Cav will win.
I will close the distance quickly, and you know why.
Yeah, Cav gets one shot.
The disturbing part is that might be all Cav needs.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, it would be... The fight would be over very quickly, but I do not know who would win.
The sky on fire drops out of hyperspace. Ord Mantell stretches up below you. A vast sea of blue-black in the sun spreads south of an expansive continent whose southern reaches are shrouded in smog. To the north, much of the wilderness looks inhospitable.
Welcome to Ord Mantell. This is the Traveler's Advisory on HNN for all new craft arriving at Wolport. This week has seen a few large moves happening in the Gimling Circuit, with another mentored by Illo the Herglick taking an unprecedented 13th title in the weekly Hintaro Championship. All travelers are recommended to watch yourselves outside of Wolport due to an increase in slaver activity. The village of Red Lake has been devastated by a band that has gone through and claimed everyone. And now for a word from our sponsor.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Coming this Sunday to the Loaded Savrip. A fighting extravaganza to blow your mind! The Corellian Crippler faces off against Ugshine Tenboots in a grudge match described as On This Sunday. The plucky Trandoshan newcomer Thas Gripclaw faces the networked nightmare that is the Doomsday Brothers. Enoch Rune, the Herglick Hercules, faces off against the awesome power of the Dawoots in Disaster Goldo in the heaviest heavyweight fight we've ever hosted. And our headline bout sees the fabulous Flutterplume take on all comers for a place in next week's title bout. Who will go through to the final match to be crowned the champion of the Loaded Savrip? Come along this Sunday, or make peace with regret.
I am quite pleased.
And we should tell us when that fight was.
Who's ever heard of a sundae anyway? I mean, that's a lot of ice cream for a fight. I don't really get the combination, but...
Sounds like something we could do to, like, unwind.
On Tatooine, it's known as Sun's Day.
Someone is proud of herself. I've been working on my...
And then someone decided to stun Kev.
Trandoshan neck pinch.
That's just clawing somebody's jugular out, you know that, right?
Well, not using the claws, per se, just a squeeze.
You don't... It's just claws.
Fine. I've been working on my Doutan neck pinch, which is okay, not that, claws.
That's probably just breaking their neck, though, right? Like,
just minor trachea bruising. So wait, is this one of the rare multi-biome examples in Star Wars where it's wilderness and city?
Okay. With Ord Mantell, it is, it's kind of a two biome thing, but it's kind of not. The best way of putting it is there is a bunch of scrap, and then there is, well, cities. It's a scrap planet, pretty much.
And there are cities made of scrap.
It's like a planet of junk, where we will find characters, Eric Idle voices, I imagine.
As you circle into a landing pattern, the smog gives way and reveals a sprawling city festooned with lights. Worldport, famous for its casinos and lawlessness, awaits you. Within a few minutes of landing, the ship's communications console gives a warning indicating that there's an incoming call.
I answer the call.
The communicator screen flickers to life, revealing a large blue nose flanked by a pair of bulbous yellow eyes.
About bloody time. When V said that she was sending a group of professionals, I expected they'd be on time.
Who did she tell you we were, the Millennium Falcon?
No, she said that it would take you about a week. That all of a sudden, that they were sending a group of professionals, that's even the word that she said, to come and deal with the Queen here. Because apparently the Queen's presence is actually here.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
Yeah, rumors have it that you dealt with the last rumor pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, and we got paid rumor money, too.
Yeah, well, I know how that can be, especially with the Zahn Consortium. But bills to pay and all that.
Where's the Queen?
About that.
Here we go.
It wasn't cheap, but I got a meeting set up between Eula and Illovandon. He's a big check gambler who knows things, and I think he'll help you a lot out if he scratches back. It's a very well-off neighborhood, so you don't need your jungle gear when you go. Like, try not to embarrass the consortium, and it's kind of locked higher than a wart's backside. But I'll have someone waiting for you at the gates with a set of passes.
Okay. I guess that's where we'll go then. But no funny business or anything.
I'm just gonna try and have my people ready for when you know where we're going. And where. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a shard of the consortium to run, and I'll let you get back to clearing out problems.
All right. We'll talk to you later, probably.
Doo-doo.
So what are our orders, Captain?
To be entirely honest, I kind of lost track of what the orders were.
So we're supposed to meet up with Ilo Vanden, the Hintaro gambler that got mentioned in the ad, and they said that it's a nice part of town. We shouldn't embarrass the consortium. So that's the main part I'm curious about. What does Barrowman convey to the group and with regards to that? What are we supposed to bring or not bring?
Okay. Barrowman has everybody meet in the common area for a briefing.
Okay, so here's the deal. We're meeting a gambler. It's theoretically a nice part of town, so let's not shoot it up, mainly because it sounds like that's probably the part of town where people will have paid security, and I don't want to deal with that any more than we have to.
Can the crew bring weapons?
Small ones.
Define small.
The crate's breath will have to stay.
Can it fit in your pocket?
Ooh. Cat's pockets are not very big.
There's your answer. I'm sure Vreba will take good care of it.
Hashtag mandible pout.
What's a hashtag?
I believe it is like the pound sign.
What's a pound sign?
I'm
A number sign.
Is it like... Okay.
Billy flexes her fists.
I think Vastrano will... Yeah, I think Vastrano will shoot Billy a conspiratorial, like, yeah, we don't need to worry about that.
Billy will straighten her jacket and just nod.
Berowyn pulls on her new shock gloves, one of which is on her tail, apparently.
Ben, before we get rolling, can I try a streetwise just to kind of get a feel, like check around the hollow ads and whatnot to get a feel for the neighborhood we're heading to?
Okay, yeah, that you can. I mean, that or knowledge underworld, both would work.
Oh, goodness. Wow, those are remarkably the same. Oh, wait, nope. Streetwise is better. How hard am I looking?
Like, the actual neighborhood, the address that you've got, you can tell just by looking through, pretty much using a mapping feature from the local HoloNet. This is the neighborhood of gated, not just it being a gated community, it is a gated community, but it also is gated estates within the community.
So it's double gated.
And these are not tiny places. These, at minimum, would be called mansions.
So this is like Underworld Stars map.
Pretty close, yeah.
These are the real bad people.
These are the people that make money from being bad people.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you're wanting to look up the contact that you were given, that would be a hard knowledge underworld check.
So, moderately decent at this.
And like, if you're wanting to do a combined check, that would totally be a thing too.
Anybody else interested in helping? Or is this just Billy pondering? Scrolling through a data slate.
Waiting in underworld?
Yes. No, I'm streetwising.
I might be able to assist with streetwise. I've got one yellow, two green.
I've got two yellow, one green.
I can't assist with streetwise. I can only assist with underworld.
So Vastrano and I are huddling over the data slate like, oh, look at that. What about this? Scroll.
Yeah, I think I might be like a little excited about hearing about the boxing match.
your thirst for blood was not slaked by our massacre?
Slake's a great word.
So, Billy and Vastrano rolled two yellow, one green, one blue, three purple, got three success and a threat.
All right, so you are able to find out that Illo Vanden is a Herglick and a big name in the gambling circuit. He is a near-legendary gambler who's rose above his humble beginnings and is now incredibly wealthy. Vanden also does financially back promising gamblers on occasion, acting as both mentor and manager for them.
I'm sorry, for whom?
Different gamblers that he picks out of the crowd.
So he like...
He bankrolls them.
Trains
and bankrolls them.
And the area, is this like a place where we need to be classed up a bit?
It wouldn't hurt, is about the best way that I can put it. Like, if you were to be kind of classy, that would definitely fit the neighborhood.
What would you like to do for my threat, my dear?
I kind of want to just bank it, at least for right now.
Okay, acceptable and ominous. So, Billy will say... He's kind of a gambler. Here. He is what you might call a gambler boss, or perhaps Don. He tends to run his own circles, where he selects promising underlings and gives them the funds to expand their holding and takes cuts. In doing so, it appears that he has become quite comfortable in this location. And we should look our best to avoid unwanted attention.
Billy, are you in any particular danger around people who are very well versed in gambling technology, so to speak?
I am not overtly troubling unless I were to perhaps draw unnecessary attention. If I am to attend, I am uninteresting as a droid. If I am to play, I am a concern.
She's not stock casino hardware, if that's what you're asking.
I wasn't quite sure about the parameters of all of it.
It is a difficult thing to communicate.
So how nice, like Thakpa the Hutt Court nice?
Cleaner.
Cleaner? How?
Kev?
Yes, Barrowman?
When was the last time you washed whatever you're planning to wear?
Well, Kev just made it a few days ago.
Okay. And have you taken a shower today?
Well, yesterday, certainly. Near enough.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Perhaps?
I think we're good, Billy.
Okay. If you insist. Billy leans over to Vistrano, says, next opportunity, perhaps we should trade out her soap for one of your more stringent concoctions.
Oh, don't worry. I've already got a plan in mind to spill something on them so that they have to.
Billy, again, just nods very, very slightly. Then perhaps we should gather our wits and our gear and depart. Captain?
All right. Just sidearms only, please. If you feel like you have to carry one, I know that most of us have backup plans.
As a tail just sways.
I am a backup plan.
Cav will set the duffel bag down that currently contains a rifle. Unzip it a little bit. Pat the now painted crate's breadth, so we as the audience see a little glimpse of, it looks like a painted dragon's head along the barrel, and says,
soon,
and we'll zip it back up.
That's not creepy at all.
Vrebo, the ship is yours. Put that duffel bag somewhere 3B has not managed to get into yet.
Oh, yes, Captain. And then proceeds to lift the duffel bag and put it back in Illen's, puts it back in Illen's work area.
It's surprisingly not very light and a lot easier to move. It looks like it's been condensed a little bit since last time.
I feel like 3B doesn't get into the mechanics shop that often, usually because the little droids that hang out there chase him out because they don't want him getting into things.
Although right now they're coming with me.
All of them?
Yeah.
By now, Vistrano has got a glass of something and has walked over and accidentally upturned it just a little bit on Cav and is making a show of, oh, well, let's just get you cleaned up just a little bit before we go.
Oh,
dear Cav, we cannot have you come with us sticky.
Cav didn't even think Vistrano drank fizzy gulk.
Trying out new things, since you're trying out so many new things.
Oh, that is fair. Cav guesses Cav needs to find a clean shirt now.
Yes. Well, I'll help you. And Vistrano will take Cav off and help pick out clothes.
Well, accidents happen.
But why not this one?
Wonderful.
I'm guessing a perception.
Barrowin could discern the fact that this was not an accident.
I have a yellow and two green in deception. I don't know if that matters.
It was a fail anyway, so yeah. So as you emerge from the sky on fire, you immediately notice Woolport's atmosphere smells strongly of pollution and fossil fuels, aka the same thing. Oh, wait. Can you tell that I'm actually reading adventure text? Gotcha. The docking bay is sparse and empty, its concrete surfaces stained by years of lubricant and leaks. The sounds of the spaceport, whirring engines, clamoring tools, and blaring loudspeakers fill your ears. Movement at the docking bay's entrance catches your eye. A lanky droid with a drab camouflage paint scheme approaches you slowly, a carbine slung over its shoulder. Once within speaking distance, it stops and looks at you with a pair of yellow glowing eyes.
Offer security, fee reasonable, vessel safety guaranteed.
And it looks up at you, looking from person to person.
What manner of droid?
It does look like a combat droid, but it currently it's a singular combat droid. It does look to be an older model. Like a pre-trade dispute age.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just one. Both hands are
completely empty, and it's got a blaster carbine on the back, or slung over its back.
Are we in like a bay, like a closed off area that is for our ship, or is it more of an airfield kind of deal?
It's closer to a bay.
I mean, I guess the question is there a door to get into the bay that we can lock?
Yeah, I'll go with yes.
I think we can take care of ourselves. Thanks, though.
Response noted. Possibility of vehicle damage increased by 35%. Have a nice day.
Then the droid turns and starts to walk out the door.
I think that droid just threatened the crew.
It was just trying to sell something.
I feel as though 35% is perhaps more of a warning than a threat.
That's reasonable.
Still, precautions. We should alert Vrebo to potential dangers.
The crew should also warn Vrebo about the slavers, just in case anyone comes looking.
Billy, relay that stuff to Vrebo.
On comm. Vrebo, please be aware that we were approached by a combat droid interested in selling protection. This does not mean that the ship will be attacked since we have declined, but it is good to be aware. Also, there has been slaver activity. Please do not open the doors to anyone that is not us.
Yes, Billy.
Be safe, Rebo.
Of course, Billy.
And then from the cockpit, you can see Rebo waving with his free hand, and in his other hand, he's got his semi-recently purchased blaster pistol in hand.
Oh god, when we come back, everything's going to be on fire. The ship is going to be, like, cracked open. Vrebo will be propped in one of the rooms with the crate's breath, looking just generally panicked and not being able to articulate what's happened. And 3B will just be alone in a room with, like, 12 dead bodies.
And all of my garden is gone.
It's an interesting prediction. We shall see if it becomes that.
Brandon?
Hmm?
You are responsible for whatever happens to Vrebo now.
I mean, he is a captain anyway, so.
Sort of.
No, you are the captain.
Oh, I was sort of in the responsible part. We proceed. How far away is the part of the city that we want to get to?
It's actually a relatively considerable distance. It's on one of the few true hills of the area. Otherwise, it looks a lot more like a... Actually, it looks very like 70s New York. Very dirty, very tight in. Like a huge amount of neon and hollow on all the different shop faces. And the amount of smog really dampens the sun that is coming in. Even like now, at the middle of the day, it still looks kind of dusky.
Is this the route we will take to it, or is this what the place we're going to looks like?
The route that you're going to, like the general city itself, is very, it's smog filled. You can see a bunch of, like as you're just sort of standing at the edge of your hangar space on the roadway side, and you can see a couple of people walking past with breath masks on, land speeders going across and going around. Off in the distance, a bit further out from the like down the road, you can see a few manufactories where it's just sort of belching smoke up into the air. And according to the maps that you were able to find and the lay of the land, you're fairly certain that this is a that this look outside of your hangar is fairly common. The place that you're going to is, as I said, it is up on a hill, and by that I actually mean a fairly sizable hill, and where you're, at least according to some of the brochures and like the tour brochure that you had, because they sell like bus tours of famous houses, it's like smog free air and the like, where it's very much the area around it has been cleaned.
Well, I suppose we will find a place to rent a speeder.
We could also take public transportation. I have seen several buses and a taxi.
No! No! Not again!
Ilan, there is no shame in public transport.
Yes, there is. The crew is supposed to look good as the crew travels into the fancy sector.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Ilan has a point.
Ilan's nodding.
How do Gans nod? You really don't have much of a neck.
Look, I got no eyelids. I can't sweat. I gotta do something, okay? neck movement is all I have. Don't take it from me.
I mean, maybe when they nod, they kind of like make this weird like chittering noise with their chitinous shell.
Are you trying to make me a Kodomo again?
I see nothing wrong with that.
Kodama is what you
Kodama.
Mean.
Kodama.
To be fair, she was quoting my mispronunciation previously, so.
We're going to see about renting a speeder.
Pastrano's got a little bit of a pained expression because he's been enjoying the conspiratorial glances shared with Billy, but I do agree with Kav. Ilan.
Very well. I fail to see the problem with the taxi, but if you would rather be in possession of a speeder, that is acceptable.
I mean, a taxi's not necessarily public transit. It's private transit. It's hired.
The crew dodged a blaster bolt there.
We shall avoid any rental chains that we have dealt with in the past. Definitely not Spavis.
I think Spurts. Did Spurts come up?
Yeah, Spurts.
That leaves Spenterprise.
I think they're in a different universe.
Yeah, and then there's like Space-a-wreck.
Starfleet has to spend like an enormous amount on the insurance for that starship they rent. I mean, I literally don't dislike the idea of a cab or other hired vehicle either. At least if we can find one that is, you know, not really dirty.
Oh, I would assume that if there is a handout map or a local display board, we would have directions for such objects or such businesses.
All right, so you've rented a vehicle, the four of you have piled in, and when you get to the gate of the community, as you're driving up, you don't really need a perception check to figure out who is the Toydarian's contact up here. You can see a tall, somewhat lanky, as you're getting close to where the turn-in is, and the turn-in itself is very heavily seen. As you've been climbing up the switchback hills, or the switchback roads going up, you can see that the smog has started to dissipate as you're climbing up and up. And as you look out over the city, you can see pretty much like this cloud layer sitting over it with different towers sticking up out of it. You can see that he's a fairly nondescript human in coveralls. And could I get a hard perception check?
From whom?
The group.
Cav's droids have 3 ranks collectively to contribute. So then do one of you want to do the roll with the 3 skill from the droids?
Take it away, Vistrano.
Oh golly. Because I do so well with rolls.
You've seen how I do. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, I don't have any cheat sheet rolls for this one. Okay.
Group rolls. They always screw you up.
All right. How many are the droids giving me?
3 yellow.
Yep.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Was that average?
No, it's a hard. So that's 3 purple.
All right. I got 2 successes, 2 threat, and a triumph.
Very nice.
I don't know, who's driving? Berwin? Maybe?
Prob? Wait, Cav actually has ranks in piloting planetary, right?
Yes, and historically Cav has done the driving of vehicles unless you want to avoid it.
Okay, I wasn't entirely certain. That's the reason I was asking. Okay, so as Cav pulls up, I'm sort of figuring in that case, I'm just sort of envisioning in my head, in the front seat you've got Cav and Berwin, and in the back seat you've got Billy and Vistrano, with Vistrano on the passenger side in the back. As Cav pulls up,
The human comes over and taps on the back door, or yeah, back door window, as I hand Vastrano a crumpled envelope with a nod, and this is from Jander. Yeah, as soon as this guy pretty much shoves it in Vastrano's face, they turn and quickly try and walk away. But as that's happening, as that's happening, you've got Vastrano seeing very clearly that this guy has a somewhat considerable heavy blaster pistol holstered under their arm, under their coveralls. And as they turn and start walking away, you can see them pretty much blending into the crowd. The logo on the back is for a local HVAC company.
He handed us a note?
A crumpled envelope. I'll finish showing with this, then we'll get to the triumph. Within the envelope is a security pass marked with today's date and Ilo Vanden's address within. And it looks to be a scan, almost one of those RFID scanny things, / QR codes. Hold it up, door opens kind of thing. Also within is it's kind of crumpled now, but there's also an entire list of things that you're permitted and not permitted to do within the Jewel District, of which that is where you're going into. The Jewel District of Woolport.
Does anything jump out as a thing that we are in danger of doing?
No. It does say that this district does have its own private security force that will respond to threats with extreme prejudice and that prides itself on having a low response time. That it will...
For law enforcement?
Yeah, like a surprisingly low for law enforcement response time. You're looking at like Coruscant levels.
Is there an Imperial garrison here, or is it some other planetary government?
It's a planetary government under an Imperial government. Think early sure. Lothal.
So it's nominally Imperial, but not like in force.
Yeah. No, nowhere near enforced.
Police are still potentially a problem, even if they're not stormtroopers. Possibly, especially if they're not stormtroopers. Okay, well, we have our pass, as we were told that we would have, so.
Yeah. And now my question is, like, you do have two threat, which I'm going to toss into my threat bank.
Oh my gosh. We're in trouble.
Yeah, honestly, blame Risa for this.
You heard it here first, Risa. You have been thrown under the bus that we didn't take.
I was just gonna say that.
Well, Risa's the one who keeps on mentioning you. She uses she'll bank threat until some massive amount of threat is used, but there's no other effect until it shows up. So, wow.
I'm picturing like the Death Star cookie jar as the threat bank.
That could work. All right. So, but on that perception roll, there is a triumph. So, what in all are y'all wanting to do with the triumph after getting the pass and the list of this is how you are nice in the Jewel District?
I'm trying to think. Is there something on there that can help us when we're actually in that district?
Britt, you rolled it. Any ideas?
I'm thinking.
Parking pass.
Well, here's an angle. It's not... This may not work because it's not directly tied to the perception, but we are in a town with gladiators. Just to seed something, could Vastrano know somebody that might be favorable to us? Might know the lay of the land?
Or even was in the court.
Something.
Oh, dear.
Okay. I know.
Yeah, I'm just spitballing.
I mean, that's better than my parking pass suggestion, but, you know.
I'm going with, that was Ugshine Ten Boots. Taking a look at the, like, it was a coverall, it was a set of coveralls for an HVAC unit, or HVAC repair company, that the front of it wasn't done up, so you could see inside, and had a
like one of those undershirts with the that allowed like a shoulder tat to show through, and it's a very distinctive tattoo that Vestrano is able to place, and this has to be Ugshine Ten Boots, a gladiator that Vestrano's seen in Thakba's pit.
I'll kind of lean over to Berwin. Now, I don't know why, but for some reason, he sent Ugshine Ten Boots to deliver that message.
Am I supposed to know who that is?
I believe they were mentioned in the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday ad.
Oh.
Weren't you listening?
I mean, there was a lot of information to take in.
It's very exciting.
There was a lot of proper nouns thrown around and the names of days.
And the word Sunday.
Yes.
He's brutal. I don't know why he's not getting ready right now and he's delivering messages.
Maybe it was an important message that somebody was worried might be intercepted.
Well, Jander was concerned about the Queen's presence. Perhaps we should continue forward.
Seems like the best move right now, but just keep an eye out, I suppose.
Pastrano is gonna just study that list of things to do now that he thinks that this is very, very important business.
As pull up to a gate there, Illyn reaches out with the pass and the gate swings open. On the inside, you can see two security patrols pretty close to the front gate. Each one a four-person element of beings in yellow laminate armor.
Yellow? Like how yellow? Like high visibility or like streetline yellow?
I'm envisioning more streetline yellow than safety yellow.
The Sunshine Squad.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, compared to the rest of Walpart, the Jewel District is clean and well-maintained. Though the smog of the city still clings to its elaborate spires and massive cupolas, the streets of the district are free from congestion, and there's no filth or graffiti. Most of the activity is confined to foot traffic, messengers, servants, and droids going to and fro. Some of them give the heroes curious glances, but none seem overly interested or alarmed about you. Vanden's estate is nearly a half kilometer from the district gate. As you pull in past the internal gate, you see the grounds are sown with tall trees and verdant hedges that shield the villa from the street. White stone columns carved in marine shapes, connected by black iron fences, secure the property. Two guards in black coats with heavy blaster pistols on their hips wait for the heroes by the estate gate. And as you pull up and get out, for this area, it's a fairly modest-sized villa, but it definitely fits the bill of villa. And pretty much all the decoration around it is very marine-centric. There is even a, like, as you're pulling up, there's a large fountain with, it looks to be the mouth of a Sando Aqua monster opening, where there's a seat, like a bench on the inside where people can go and sit.
That is a unique decoration choice.
And a little further down, you can see the driveway or the drive split again, and you can see what would you'd figure to be anatomically a correct distance tail come up from the underneath, like almost like the Sando Aqua Monster is underneath the pavement.
How big is this Aqua Monster?
Semi-giant.
Do you,
like, beyond blue whale size?
Yeah, they're generally silhouette 6. Okay. So, yes, the large Carcadon in a lovely black suit, they direct you through from the entrance to a near side office and open the door, stand at the door,
and wave through Bit.
Master Vanden will be with you shortly.
And with that, they'll nod and step away.
What kind of room did they leave us in?
It does look like an office, but like everything has scroll work. It looks very well. It also has like floor to ceiling aquariums in it where you can see like smaller fish flittering around inside, and you can see like one or two larger fish that are like patrolling, moving in there. And off to the back, you can see a large staircase that comes down, and like as you're looking around, you can, it looks like this is a place where business is done. You can see like deep like high back chairs with intricate scroll work for legs and that sort of stuff. And then,
oh my goodness, that's a Herglick.
The wide round office door opens, admitting an incredibly bulky humanoid dressed in a fine blue suit and matching short black cape. His skin is smooth, hairless, and dark gray. His wide gray-green eyes take you in at a glance, and his broad mouth widens into a toothy smile.
And here we have some of Tiber's associates, don't we? Let's get down to business, yes?
Sure.
You want this queen, do you? I can tell you how to find her, see, but I'd like a favor first. A task you can do for me. It really shouldn't take you that long, and I don't expect you to find it difficult to accomplish either. Really, there's two things that I need done, but you only need to do one of them for me. The first involves fixing a fight here in Woolport. The second relies on your delivering a package to a work camp in the Scraplands. Now, which one of these tickles your fancy, you slick Salonian?
Oh, this is multiple choice.
Well, yes.
Illyn's going to move a little closer to Berwyn.
Illyn knows which direction Berwyn may be leaning, but remember how it worked for us when the crew last entered the wilderness.
Illyn, we're people of principle. Theoretically.
Was that a side eye at Billy?
No, just kind of an aside to herself.
Oh, it is. There's a fighter that is coming up that I cannot. That I may have a few bets down, and they. This particular fighting being in the final round would put a huge damper on my spread, one might say. And I just need someone to defeat them before they get to the final championship.
So not fixing a fight per se, but perhaps winning the contest fairly and honestly.
Oh, I'm sure that that could also happen. I mean...
Like, clearly that's not what this dude's thinking.
Just a note, Vistrano is very quiet, but is very uncomfortable.
Because Vistrano's got a couple of little... options for fixing fights.
Are there any rules about the fights or who may enter?
Oh, I'm certain over at the Loaded Saffrip there is a few of them, but I'm sure that any of the people that you would want to put forward would be very easy to get through any of the qualifyings.
Do they accept droids?
I do believe so. It has been a while since I took a look at the lower rungs of betting. I'm a championship being, you see.
Sure, that makes sense. One moment. Does anybody have a reason why we shouldn't do the fight thing?
Well, if we are being honest, Berwyn, there is a chance that we would lose. However slim it may be, it could still augment our relationship with this fellow.
I mean, I think there's a chance we fail at either of these things that he gives us to do.
There is another option.
Is it an option I'm going to be unhappy with?
Is there an option you are happy with?
I mean, there are options I'm relatively happy with.
This is not the suggestion of cheating.
Okay, proceed.
We could take both tasks. Leave one of us here to the fight. The other three go to the scrapyard.
I don't know that I want to leave anyone without backup.
Two and two, then.
I dare say the fighter will not have backup in the ring.
I mean, frankly, I'm not worried about the fighter having protection from whoever they might be fighting. If the queen's here, they might have others that would try to do something to us.
This is a fair point.
One of these days I'm going to get us to split the party.
I don't know if we're going to make it happen this season. By this point, how many times have we separated in season one?
I'm trying, man.
I mean, I guess there's... I, as a player, try to avoid it because it sounds difficult to manage, but if it's not, we can do it.
Oh, Ben's managed pretty well with some idiocy in the past.
To be fair, most of that sort of splitting of the party has been pretty, like, going down two paths of the same. Like, we're taking the high ground and the low ground. This sort of seems to be one's going off to fighting and the other one's going off into the wilderness to do weirdness.
Yeah, there's presumably two just totally different tasks here.
Okay, I see what you mean.
If the fighting thing doesn't work out, we can potentially see if we can do something, do the other thing afterward. But I think given our track record so far, punching people is the thing we're best at.
Fair enough.
I mean, three of us have a really good chance of winning, I think.
Three?
Yeah. You, Billy, and me.
I'm just picturing Cav straightening up and then wilting slightly.
That's only because Illyn is not willing to hurt any sentient being so brutally with the strength of Cav's punch.
You light people on fire.
Yes, and that is a far kinder fate than the fists of a Gand.
I have heard rumors that a Gand's fist could punch through laminate armor. Though I have yet to see any demonstration that would lead me to believe that it is true.
That doesn't sound real.
Eyeballs Cav.
But clearly they would think that Cav cheated, so the crew cannot do that. So yes, one of the three of you should be our champion.
Very well.
Baruin will turn back to the Herglick and say, we're going to do the fight thing.
Oh, that is most wonderful.
But we're doing it on our terms.
Oh. By far, I would not imagine doing it any other way. I mean, for all I know, the Q are going to be able to talk to this Flutter Plume and be able to get them to abandon their pursuit of the title for this week.
What manner of being is Fabulous Flutter Plume?
Oh, Flutter Plume's the other fighter. Okay, yeah.
Oh, you must have caught one of their adverts coming in. Oh, no. See, Flutterplume is just Flutterplume. And from everything that I've seen and from the fights and research that has been done, Flutterplume is but a human. But they're truly a talented human at being able to... Well, they don't literally take people apart. That is not the level of gruesome in these fights, but those people are destined for the backed award, to say the least.
Vistrana's like, yeah, right.
A human?
Says the one that is closest to human of all of us.
Merest.
That's why it was funny.
You're just blue.
I have yellow eyes.
And cool facial tats.
Yeah?
I mean, a human can get those.
Oh, yes. No, Flutterplume is becoming a very storied fighter. And, well, to be very forthright with you, I have found that I did not bet on them at the start of the season. And with the way that the brackets went, I was expecting a few cuts to happen very early on that did not. And no one had heard much of this Flutterplume. So I bet against them. Now it is getting far, far, far too close for a being such as me to lose out on that. So I am asking you to make it so that Flutterplume is not one of the fighters in the final match. Whether it is one of you, that is okay. That is something that is could be advantageous. I mean, a unknown coming in and then rocking The foundations of the Loaded Savrips fighting match? Oh, that would be truly wondrous. And by far, you will find some of my pets following you, if that is the case.
Who does the crew need to speak to in order to enter a fighter?
Three fighters?
I'm glad I wasn't the only one thinking it.
You need to talk to the arena manager. The Loaded Severup has gone through a little bit of management change recently, but the person there that should be the one in charge is a Jid Rinar. At least I think that is right. Some of this basic is just a little so monosyllabic.
We will look into that.
Now these fights, they're not to the death or anything. So crass, right?
Oh, no. I mean, well, none of the ones in the rings are. There are several, I wouldn't even call them sporting events held outside that do seem to go a bit further and do end up having a far bit more injurious occasions. But the reduction in what people can do is far more prevalent. But the fights that you are going to be going into, assuming you're going to fight yourselves, they are going to be of the fisticuff variety, or at least the unarmed. No weapons allowed. Though I do believe that there is a unlimited version of fighting that your droid would be seemingly very suited for, at least from the initial circumspections that I've had.
I'm sure we'll figure it out. We've got a few options, and we can mostly handle ourselves without a weapon.
What sort of physical examinations are done to the fighters prior? Is there a medic that inspects everyone?
At least a cursory medical examination is made. I cannot say that anyone has a specified medical body that they're reporting to. I mean, this is Whirlpool, after all. The free reign of everything is the order of the day.
And there's no weaponry allowed.
Correct.
What are the parameters on chemicals?
They would be considered a weapon.
All right, then.
So no juicing up before a fight.
No juicing one of us up.
Just juice Kav for no reason?
No, we juice him and get him caught.
Obviously.
Billy is not putting this forward, by the way. Billy might have a quiet word with the Strano later.
Just to be clear, if we make sure this Flutterplume doesn't win, or doesn't get into the final match, or whatever it is that we agreed to, what exactly will you be able to tell us about the Pirate Queen?
I will be able to provide access to someone who is immensely close to the Queen, and evidence such that would allow you to turn their loyalties from the Queen themselves to you, if you're able to apply it with even the modicum of tact you've been able to show me today.
So blackmail?
Oh no. Nothing quite so crass. This is much more revelatory than blackmail.
Billy nods, actually rather pleased with this information, since she has a feeling certain spaceship captains wouldn't support blackmail.
I mean, it's not generally a thing people do, like, selflessly, but it's just useful sometimes. I mean, blackmail's not inherently dishonest.
I suppose that's very true in a very specific bent.
Thank you so very much for your time today, and with you taking on this one charge of mine, I shall be very pleased with helping you once that this is finished. Once that this is off my plate, mind, so be so very, very much more calm, and I will be able to precisely remember where I put that piece of information.
And it's at that point where the Carcodon opens the door you entered through.
All right, everyone, we've got our first breadcrumb.
Indeed.
Billy will bow to Illo. It is a pleasure doing business with you.
May it be more going forward.
And then I guess the Carcadon leads us out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Leslie, at LeslieGS.
And I, Britt, can be found at Atomic Firebird.
I'm on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
And you can find me and Cav on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K.
We are all at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.
Did that feel really wrong to anybody else?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to actually roll obligation?
Oh, yay!
Yeah, that's actually what I was doing, which is 70.
I feel like that's me.
I feel like you're not wrong.
That is a nice letter waiting back at the Sky on Fire for a nice Vistrano till.
Dear Vistrano, send us money. We are out of maraschino cherries.
I did forget to send them money last time I got some.
How do they know?
Ugh, they just know. Badawin, you want to take this?
No, it's a separate call.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you can be standing with me and I could have handed it to you.
To be fair, Vistrano does only have a very limited amount of reason to call Verin, but...
All right, cut that part out anyway. I accidentally rolled my R anyway. I don't know why the hell I did that. Okay.
Because you're talking to Verin.
Yes.
Everybody's fancy when they talk to Verin.
Lurin Bluffer.
I'm done. I really hope the sponsor is a show, our new show of Embers and Fortunes.
Or Biscuit Baron.
Ooh, we need a Biscuit Baron jingle, guys.
It's a going out of business ad.
No.
Yeah.
After losing our biggest customer.
No.
Every biscuit must go.
Pretty sure that I spelled Whirlport wrong. Oh my gosh.
Well, Vistrano can say goodbye to Cav's diet. And suddenly Biscuit Baron's back in the game.
Here is where we stand. You could call, but it would take every credit you have to do so, and I might have a better hand. Or you could fold and walk away with what you've got left.
I think maybe I'll call.
Are you sure? I think you would regret that decision, my friend. This card I have here, it's a very good card.
Well...
You'll be the one regretting that decision, Verin.
Berwin!
Berwin? What are you doing here? How did you find me? Wait, when did you get a jetpack?
Lying, Verin, is never the right answer. Not only does lying erode your own moral integrity, but it prevents this fine gentleman from acting in a rational and informed manner, resulting in a spiral toward galactic chaos.
Oh, wow, yeah, no, I never thought of it like that. Anyway, sir, I think you were about to make a bet.
Hold on, I want to hear this galactic chaos thing.
Ugh. A society can't exist if there isn't any trust for it. This guy understands that. Besides, Imagine how he would react if he found out you lied, or if he lost all of his credits on false pretenses.
I break his arms.
Yeah, yes, he'd break my arms, Barrowin. Don't you think maybe this is a fine time to lie?
Lying is the worst you could possibly do, Vurin. I know it's tempting, but that cost always outweighs the benefit in the long run.
Why are you doing this to me?
Vurin, it's called parenting. Vurin, it's called parenting.
No, wait, I need both
of
you.
Let me see that card. Ah.
No! It's badly drawn! It's alternate art!
Wait a second, this is... what are all these up your sleeve?
They're, discontinued Netrunner cards.